Article. You know, I have a few items from Article. I tell you every week about it. I don't know why you're not listening to me at my dining room chairs. God, they're so beautiful. I swear to the God I don't believe in, these chairs make me so happy. They're so gorgeous. My dining room, I guess, chairs. And I use them for everything, too. And then I've got my gorgeous bed frame with the built-in side tables and table things. Guys, Article is the easiest way to make your space look fucking beautiful. Let me show you how. They combine the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of shopping online. Article's team of designers focuses on beautiful crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction. They are dedicated to a modern aesthetic of mid-century Scandinavian industrial and bohemian designs. Its fast, affordable shipping is available across the USA and Canada and is free on orders over $999. They cut out the middleman and sell directly to you. No showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/Sarah and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/Sarah for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Hi, everyone. It's your best friend, Sarah. And, you know, I'm very, you know, I like weed, but I also am very, like, not anal about it. Or, like, I'm a light, you know, I'm a stoner, but I'm a lightweight. But I do like to kind of drug myself to sleep, and then I worry about, like, am I like Judy Garland or something, you know? So I'll tell Rory everything I took just so someone else knows everything in my body. So I'm like, I ate 2 edibles. That's 5 milligrams each. You know, I go, I ate 2 edibles and had a puff of indica and took 1 Advil PM. And he's like, did you write a suicide note? I'm like, oh, I knew I forgot something. But I don't think that's too much, but I felt a little nervous because I wanted an Advil. But then I go, well, I might as well take a PM since it's nighttime. But then I had already taken like indica weed. Anyway, it turned out fine, but I thought that was really funny because I expected him to be like, babe, you can't take too much, you know, whatever. But it is just weed. Let's listen to some voicemails.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. Wow, that's crazy to say, because, like, I literally talk about you like you're my friend. Like, my friend Sarah.
Aw. This is a Canadian, right? A boot? Is she there?
A few seconds going by here. Okay. Wow, why am I so nervous? I think I'm so nervous because I'm saying these things out loud for the first time. I had to fire someone today. And I feel so fucking shitty about it. I feel like I ruined their lives. And I am a life ruiner. And having been on the other side of being fired, I know how much it sucks. So being the one that had to fire someone, I mean, it's my job. I'm a manager. But it just, like, it sucks. And I had just cause. There were many reasons to fire this person, but I still really feel shitty about it. How much more time I have? A little bit? Okay. The other thing I wanted to tell you, totally off topic, but I'm listening to your podcast, but backwards. So I start with the newest first. So I just think it's really cool to hear about all the stories and like Rory's balls and the solution to it, and like the final recording of Rory and the Albany, just all of it. So funny. Listen to back.
Aww, that's so funny. It's like watching porn backwards where you see the semen go back into the penis. Hi, listen, you cannot keep someone who is doing a bad job, period. You're not doing them a favor by keeping them on, maybe in the short term, but you just can't. And I know it's awful. I mean, my family's probably listening to this and laughing at me because I, too, am terrible at what you say, what you speak of. I know it's awful to fire someone. It's awful. And I know you feel your experience getting fired was terrible. I have been fired from many a job myself. But if there's one thing I've learned, and this is a notion certainly in the zeitgeist of late, what we do with failure defines us. This is, you're giving this person an opportunity. There is no success without failure. You're doing this person a favor if they take that failure, take that being fired, and do something with it. Correct something about themselves. Change something. Wonder about it. Ask themselves what their part in it is, etc. You know, you're giving them an opportunity to come out of this failure changed. You know, out of the ashes, phoenix rises shit. You know, you did the right thing. Don't feel bad about it. What else?
Hey, Sarah, Carrie here from Vancouver, Canada. How are you? Hope all is well in your world. So I, at the tender age of 41, find myself single again after a number of years and have immersed myself back into the wonderful world of dating, which is not as bad as one might think, but it's also not as good. Anyway, so I've kind of narrowed it down to the one quality that I'm looking for in a man, and that quality is the unwind. How does this person like to come down after a long week, a long day? You are actually a big part of my unwind. I am a teacher, and on Fridays I come home, I pop you in my ears, I grab a joint, and I go for a nice leisurely stroll around this beautiful city that I get to call home. And I look at architecture, look at the trees, breathe some fresh air, ponder life, listen to your wise words. And it's just such a beautiful way to come down after what usually is a trying week. So, what are your thoughts? Do you think finding your unwind match is important? Have you found that in Rory? Do you guys chill out together at the end of a long day, a long week? Or do you kind of just do your own thing? All right. Peace out. Hope all is well. Bye.
First of all, I'm honored to be a part of your Friday Stony Walk Unwind. Is there anything better than a stony walk? Maybe just a walk, but I just love a, like, just a puff, just a whisper of a puff and a walk through the neighborhood, through anywhere. Just, I love it. Rory and I have some crossover of unwindiness, but we also do separate things. So usually what's been happening is when he gets home from work, he puts on some hiking clothes and we walk the dogs. We go for like a hike or we walk around our streets, our neighborhood with the dogs. And that's usually a stony walk if all work is done on my end. And then we feed the dogs. And then sometimes we might make love. This is getting really, but sometimes we do like a parallel play of unwindiness. Like he'll play video games and I'll take a fucking piping hot bath and watch Law and Order. And this is our like happy places. And then we meet to watch TV or go to bed or whatever. So we do a lot. We do some unwinding together. We do some unwinding apart. I wouldn't like, of all the things I want in a man, like how he unwinds personally is like, I don't give a fuck unless it's like murdering people. Maybe that's relaxing for someone. But yeah, no, because I love being alone. You know, like when he comes home at the end of the day, he does want to hang out with me. But like, you know, what sometimes people forget is like when you come home, because sometimes I'm the one coming home at the end of a day, I need to be alone for a chunk of time every day. So if I'm working all day and then I come home, I'm so excited to see my man. But sometimes I still need the time alone. You know, it's like that classic moment on that Sex in the City where she comes home and her and John Corbett, Aiden, a.k.a. Aiden, live together. And they're in a small space. And she comes home and he's like, what do you got? What do you do? What's new? What's up, bub? And she's just like, when I come home, I'm not even here. I need time. I'm going to go through this sheer curtain I've made and I'm going to do my own thing for about an hour. I'm not even here. And then I'm here and we'll hang out. And he's like, all right, sure. And he takes his book out and he's reading and she goes behind the curtain and she sits. You see her through this sheer curtain and she's sitting on her bed. But you know what? All she really needed was for him to be like, to hear her and give her that space. And once she had that space, she didn't need it anymore. So she came through the curtain after like not even a minute and she sat on his lap. She's like, hi. He's like, hi. And they play that Sade song, you think I'd leave you sad, baby? You know me better than that. Anyway, it's iconic. And I feel like there are so many people that watch that scene and were like, fucking totally. Who knew? Sex in the City. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah, it's Manya. Hope you're doing well. I just wanted to let you know that I purchased a neck pillow and some like eye mask, sleeping mask, after Rory posted that fucking hilarious picture of you. And I forgot what it said, but it was so funny and so cute. Anyway, I saw the picture of you sleeping with this like neck pillow and the eye mask, and I was like, this bitch knows what she's doing. Yeah, so I'm very excited to try it out. Thanks for the influence. Take it easy.
That was actually not a neck pillow. It's Rory has this like green satin little pillow that he loves, and I love it more. And I steal it a lot. And it just like fits around my neck perfectly. But yeah, the eye shades. Is that what it's called? The eye shades things. I got them on Amazon. They have like pockets for your eyes. And then you can put it on so tight. And I like it. I just love the feel. It's like the second I put it on, it's just all I see is black. Sometimes I keep my eyes open under it just to like, wow, there's just the absence of any light. It's so cool. And my body just goes like, oh, it's time to sleep. I love it. I love it. I love sleeping with those eye shades. And also my night guard, which is, I mean, it's really quite a vision. My eye shades, my night guard, this like little pillow around my neck. I sleep with so many pillows, and God, this guy watches me sleep like that, and he's still there. It's crazy, but I love it. Boy, I always say this, but I have a very active dream life, and I need to get back there a lot.
Here's some ads.
Masterclass. You know, when we do these masterclass ads, do I ever tell you? I'm the voiceover for Masterclass, or I was last Christmas, I think. A little humble brag. Not a humble brag, a brag. But I do love Masterclass. Boy, I got one for my niece and one for myself, and we use that up. I love it. Every time I log on to Masterclass, there is a new amazing world-renowned instructor. Some of the ones I've seen recently on there, I noticed there's Madeleine Albright and Condoleezza Rice. What? They do a whole thing on diplomacy. John Lennon does a songwriting class. Melinda French Gates talks about impactful giving. I bet that's amazing. She is incredible. And there are so many more instructors you can learn from. Everyone is on there. It's amazing. You can learn how to write, produce, and pitch your own TV show with the Duffer Brothers. That they're from Stranger Things. You can become an intuitive cook with Roy Choi and even redefine feminism with Gloria Steinem. With over 100 classes from a range of world-class instructors, the world is at your fingertips. There's over 100 exclusive classes taught by the instructors you know and love and respect in cinema quality classes that give you unparalleled access to renowned instructors. In addition to video lessons, Masterclass classes provide you with downloadable lesson recaps and supplemental materials. For example, cooking classes come with beautiful downloadable guides that are at the level of high-end cookbook. And to make it even more convenient for you, Masterclass is accessible on your phone, web, or smart TV. Gone are the days where you can only learn inside a classroom. I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every single Masterclass, and as a Sarah Silverman podcast listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/Sarah. That's masterclass.com/Sarah for 15% off Masterclass. ShipStation, baby. ShipStation sets you up for growth by directly integrating with every shopping cart and storefront, so your products are easier to find, easier to manage, and easier to get into the hands of happy customers. Whether you're starting small or scaling up, ShipStation makes ship happen, baby. No more limiting your business to one store. ShipStation integrates with every platform, including Amazon, Etsy, eBay, Shopify, etc., making it easy to manage all your shipping from one simple dashboard. Maximize your sales with minimal effort. Join over 130,000 companies who have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, like Chubby's Shorts, Wolfgang Puck Home, and Sock Club. Ship more and grow more with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com today and sign up with promo code Silverman for a free 60-day trial. Start today and get set up before the biggest shipping season of the year. That's 2 months free. Visit ShipStation.com, click the microphone at the top, and type in code Silverman.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. It's Gretchen from Kansas City. My daughter's is starting preschool this year. She's 5. I got her class placement, and just like anyone, I Facebooked her teacher, and I was appalled to learn she not only has a public Facebook page, but it was very much MAGA and Make America Great Again and all sorts of things about abortion and just very opposite of me and my family's beliefs. I'm also a teacher. I've taught special ed for 20 years. And I just choose not to put my stuff out there like that because it's just for me. I've requested a change of teacher. Am I overreacting? It's just not my beliefs or my values. And she's so young and impressionable. Just tell me what you think.
It's funny when you said she's so young and impressionable, I thought you were talking about the teacher, which is probably also likely true. But, you know, you're not trying to get her fired. You're just see if your daughter can be switched to a different classroom. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's fine to request another teacher. It's your kid. You know, teachers influence kids. I mean, you know, on one hand, she's just in preschool. I don't know that the teacher's going to be like, you know, abortion is murder. Like, but you actually never know. She doesn't know better to, like, not put her politics online when she's a teacher. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, on one hand, yeah, she's just in preschool. What is this teacher really going to, like, teach her? But on the other hand, those are, like, critical and super formative years. But, yeah, on the other hand, I don't know that this teacher's going to be, like, calling kids snowflakes and saying, fuck Fauci. But then on the other hand, fuck it. Like, you won't always be able to protect or control the influences of your kid has on her. And you happen to have an opportunity here. So why not? You're not trying to fire her. You're just trying to say, could she be in another classroom? And I don't think that's a big deal at all. You know, that said, you also want to teach her critical thinking and to decide from facts what she in particular thinks. But yeah, she's in preschool. It's funny because the evangelorite, is that the new Bennifer? I just made it up. The evangelorite, They think liberal teachers are brainwashing their kids and like saying like they're grooming their kids, which is a fucking dark thing to say. You know, that scary, terrifying stuff like teaching them that love is love and families come in all shapes and sizes, which actually is something that comes up in nursery school because kids have all different kinds of families. They've got two moms or they've got two dads or they have one dad. Anyway, I think you're fine. What else?
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
My name is Karim from Somalia, Middle East.
Wow.
My question is any movie change your life, make you think more about life? And tell me, what movie make you cry? Thank you so much. Oh. I'm a big fan of you.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe I'm the first Middle East. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too, even though I don't know you, but I feel love from you. I don't know. These questions are so hard. Top of my head, where's Papa? Is this fucking bananas movie from like 1970. Carl Reiner directed it, I think. I think he directed it. Yeah, I think it's the first movie he directed. It's so fucking crazy. The comedy is so unique and so hardcore. It doesn't feel dated. It feels, it's so fresh. I won't go, just find it. By the way, if you can find it, call in because I really wanted to show it to Rory and we cannot find it. It's not on iTunes. It's not on Apple, whatever. It's not on any of the streaming. I can't fucking find this movie. It's so good. Ruth Gordon, George Segal, Ron Leibowitz. I've definitely talked about it on the show. What movies made me cry? I got to tell you, top five all time, Defending Your Life, Albert Brooks. It's so funny. It's so brilliant. And God damn it, I cry at the end every time. Happy tears. They're like happy tears, but oh, boy, it always makes me cry. Again, Crimes and Misdemeanors. Sorry, love it. Massively impacted me. Fascinating way of storytelling. Hilarious, but a drama, but really interesting themes and just the storytelling of it is just so brilliant and beautiful. Goodfellas, I mean, that's on everyone's list. Scorsese is such a master. He knows all the rules of filmmaking, and that's why he can veer away from it. So, I mean, what movie, what film class would teach you? Yeah, you could have one narrator. Then sometimes you go to a different narrator, different characters narrating. Then you go to another one. I don't think anyone would teach you to do that. That is renegade stuff, and goddamn it, it works. What a movie. I love all of his movies. Anyway, you know, these movie questions, what can you do? There's a few things for you that there's a little answer, but let's keep going. What else?
Hi, Sarah. This is your friend Joker. I had a question.
Oh, hi.
If Joker. You ever decide to get married one day, what would be your perfect proposal scenario? Like, can you describe what the proposal you would love to have would be like? Just curious. Okay, bye.
I do love hearing about whenever someone got engaged, they go, oh, how did you propose? How did it, what happened? You know, I do love those stories and I love when they're creative. But for me, I just, that stuff is not my version of romance. That's not in my romance wheelhouse. I feel so lucky with Rory. His love language is verbal and action. It's awesome. He tells me he loves me, but he also shows me in so many ways. Just these little ways that are just, they mean so much. And I'm so appreciative. You know, it's like he'll turn my car around so that it's facing out in the parking, you know, in our garage. Just to make it easier for me to drive out. I'll do stand up and he'll say, call me when you're headed home so I can preheat the oven. Like, he makes sure I'm fed. I just have not experienced quite this level of gestures of care and just accepting me. Whatever, I you know, listen, for me, he's willing to be the outer spoon. In fact, he loves it. I can wake him up and say, do you want a spoon? And he won't be like, I'm sleeping. He'll be like, yeah, I do. You know, it's like, these are the everyday things of romance that are just the ticket for me. How we take care of each other, how we clean the house together. We're such a good team. And it's fun because we're doing it together and we both like a clean house and some semblance of order, you know. And it's just, we're doing something together that adds to our happiness. Other shit that's romantic to me, notes, poems. Attention, not like famous attention, just like gestures of care. We take care of each other. And don't get me wrong. I love watching the big gesture Uber romance marriage proposals online. Like, that shit's fun. I love that shit, but it's just not my thing. I like the little things. Touch, care, getting to be the inner spoon, the joy we both get from taking care of each other. This sounds just so fucking cheesy. It's just, but that's just the shit for me, you know? Every night I go to bed feeling so lucky. I always say the same thing. Nighttime is the right time. Even when I was single, before Rory, I would go to bed and just feel so lucky. I fucking love bedtime. All right, now I'm really veering off topic, but this is different. Yeah, because it involves another person. And it's someone who's put his heart in my hands. We're like a family. And that's just the most romantic thing for me. I couldn't possibly want more than that. And just in case you think this is some like unattainable kind of love, it is, because we totally fucking bicker and we completely have our moments. You know, please do not think that this is some like perfect relationship. It's definitely the best one I've ever been in. And I even in our worst moments, I'm pretty sure I want to, like, you know, die with this guy. I mean, after a long life, not like in a bus accident tomorrow, but, you know, like, I'm in it for the long haul. And that's what marriage is. We're already there. We call each other husband and wife, and we're in it for the long haul. What we got to get the government involved? But, yeah, we bicker, sure. We're both in process as people, but I will say that we actually always see this shit through. Like, we always see that stuff, like, when we're bickery and we're whatever. We always talk it through until we're, like, laughing. And, you know, if we got to take a time out, sometimes I need a time out. And boy, they help me. I just need a fucking minute to organize my thoughts and, like, think about what happened. But we always come back together and we work it out. But fuck, like, even that's the stuff, you know? So yeah, I didn't answer the question. What would be the most romantic way to be proposed to? I don't want to be proposed to. But we'll sometimes we'll say stuff like, I'd marry you tomorrow. But it's just not what we need to do. I'd love to throw a party. We could throw a party. I feel like people get married because they want to throw a big party that they're the star of. Sometimes. You know, we're not having kids, so we don't need to get married. We're already husband and wife. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Mark calling from London. Love you. Love the podcast. I think you're great. I think you're amazing. I am 33, and my parents have decided to separate. I knew this was coming. I knew it was, a possibility. But now that it is happening, I suddenly feel like a little kid again. And it's quite hard to swallow, as much as I was expecting it and knew it was coming. I guess I need to speak to my therapist about this, but it's a hard one to take, and I never thought it would be. I kind of feel like I don't have a family anymore, which is, you know, weird. What happened with you? Like, what advice do you have? Anyway, love you. Love the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
I mean, first of all, I'd say that being able to even notice that regression in yourself is a great start. And yes, talk about it with your therapist. You know, you're 33. I'm not teasing you. This is a thing that is hard for people at any age. Though I will say, I was 6 and a half, and I seemed to be the only one who was genuinely thrilled when my parents said that they were divorcing. And I remember my sisters and my parents going, oh, she doesn't understand. And I remember thinking like, yeah, I understand. I'm not going to go to sleep with you screaming to the sounds of you screaming at each other. Yeah, that sounds great. I think what happens, and maybe this is what's happening with you, is that it feels like the undoing of your childhood. Your association with your childhood is married parents under one roof. And I think that, you know, possibly there is something, albeit irrational, that feels like if they separate, it will change your sense of self. It will change your identity. Because you are the child of married parents and now you're not. Maybe we're attached to the way things were. You know, even if they weren't happy things or healthy things. That's why as we get older, we go, well, in my day, we never did this or this or this. These new things that are not familiar to us. You know, that's why when that's why we're so attached to things that were kind of solidified in our brains at a young age. That's why if you were to play the top 20 songs from the year you were 12, you're going to know every word of them. We're attached to that. We're attached to these things because it's what we know and how we see ourselves. But you are you, and all of your experiences and relationships made you you. Your parents separating will not change that, I promise. But part of that regression may also be that this is the start of being, whether you want it or not, a peer to your parents in a way, you know, even emotionally, at least a caretaker, because you see them as vulnerable beings now. And it's probably not comfortable contending with their own. You're seeing them as people who are contending with their own happiness and probably a sense of failure. And it's weird to be the kid and now needing to be the support system to these people whose roles have always been to take care of you. Welcome to life, toots. They're just people. And they're vulnerable and they're wanting. And all you need to do is love them and support them and want them to find their happiness in this lifetime. You might not want them to find love again because of what you hold in your heart as how things should be. Find a way to want them to find love. Find a way in yourself to want that for them because they deserve it. You should want them to grab joy wherever they can. And while you're at it, you should do that too. All right. What else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Christopher again. So I would say that I am somewhat of a cereal connoisseur, I guess is the right word. Love cereal. Been sugar infested since I was a kid. Would have like 3 bowls of Lucky Charms before school, which is probably triple our sugar intake as children. But, you know, love America. But listening to your podcast, you talk so much about grape nuts. So I decided, let's give grape nuts a chance. So I got myself some grape nuts today, actually. Poured himself in some almond milk. And I took a big, huge bite. Disgusting. Grape nuts should thank you for tooting their horn because they are so fucking gross. Bye-bye.
They are so gross. Well, you know, doll, Christopher, it's subjective. Obviously, Lucky Charms are fucking incredible. But what happens? You dig out all the marshmallows and then you feel bad about yourself. Grape nuts, it feels like sustenance. You can still make it sweet. You can add sugar or monk fruit, whatever, to it. I like it. You put the milk in, let it sit for a little, let it get a little soggy. Maybe you want to sweeten it with something. Maybe you want to make it into fucking the best porridge you've ever had, which is just put the almond milk in it, maybe a little more milk than you normally would, maybe a scoop of vegan butter or regular butter if you eat that stuff. Put it in the microwave, I don't know, 45 seconds, a minute. It's always either not enough or it totally explodes and I have to clean everything out of the microwave. But you got to find that perfect heat. I mean, really, you should probably do it on a stovetop. I have no patience for that. Heat it up, stir it up, and then this is what I'd like to do. Just a little scoop. This is Beth Ann O'Hara, my mom's classic. A little scoop of vanilla bean ice cream, or any vanilla ice cream, or any ice cream. And holy fucking shit, it's so good. And it still feels like healthy. I don't know, but you don't have to eat it. I'm not your mommy. What else?
Hello, Sarah. It's Ishik from Turkey. And I was wondering your stance on people who are using a lot of tongue when kissing. So I don't like to use a lot of tongue, and I find it off-putting and even gross. And a lot of people say it's the proper way of kissing, and they judge my style of kissing, which goes from no tongue to more tongue, gradually. And I wonder what you think of that, because I think it's mainly because a lot of people watch a lot of porn, and they kiss a certain way, like it has to be intense, very French. But I don't think it's the right way to kiss. I mean, it changes from one person to another. Anyway, let me know what you think. Bye.
Well, bless your heart. You think that tongue kissing, people are learning about tongue kissing from porn. I think it's more like choking women and having women gag on cocks. That has been the terrible trend picked up by porn. You don't have to like tongue kissing. That's fine. You just have to communicate with the person you're kissing with and just say that it's not for you. I love gentle, closed mouth kisses. I love sweet, even open mouth with no tongue kisses. I like tongue to be a treat. But you do have to say what you want. That's the most important thing. Sometimes it's embarrassing. You don't want to, make your partner feel like they're kissing you wrong. But when it comes to kissing or touching or sex or any of those things, it has to be okay to communicate. It has to be okay to say what you're liking, what you're not liking, and how big your partner could maybe do something that would work for you better. I mean, it is very odd. You know, I had a boyfriend once and I would say, "Ooh, I don't like when you do that. You know, I prefer it like this, or if you could do this." And he would get very upset. And upon further inquiry, it was, I think he got upset because the way he communicated it, he felt like he should have known better. And so he gets embarrassed and that makes him mad. That is such a burden on your partner to react that way. You know, I don't know if it's specifically male, but I will say it was very annoying because it made me afraid to say what I wanted or what I needed. And then, ironically, I knew everything this guy liked because he told me. I know he liked his balls squeezed hard. I know he liked, you know, all these other things. And I was able to please him the best possible way. And the fact that he couldn't experience that the other way around was just like, oh God, I just thought it was so obnoxious. But I know we all have ego and sex is sensitive shit, especially with men, because when there are boners involved, you don't want to do anything to get into their heads. But you got to be able to communicate and you got to be able to say what you like and what you don't like. And it's okay. And if your partner has a problem with it, you should consider another partner that's more like-minded. Maybe your partner right now loves touching tongues and loves that intimacy or loves that sexiness, that grittiness, whatever. And that maybe you should just be friends. If sexually you're so incompatible, you know, but definitely you got to communicate, and it's not about blame, and it's think about your tone, but just lovingly communicate or ask them if they're interested in what, in hearing what you like and don't like, and make it clear that everyone's different and there's no way they could possibly know, but this is what I'm into. This is what I don't, for some reason, skeeves me. And then go on from there. You know? Good luck. What else?
Hi, Sarah. I would just love to hear what you think about Barbra Streisand. Or do you think about Barbra Streisand? Are you a fan? Are you friends? Have you met her? You two are in my top three favorite Jewesses in the entire universe.
I love her so much.
My friend Susan is number one. Anyway, aww. I would love to hear what you think about Babs.
I mean, I don't know why you have to have a list of your favorite Jewish women, but I'm glad I made it. Yeah, obviously, I love her. I always say, like, I had to explain to Jimmy Kimmel when we dated so many years ago. Italians have Frank and Jews have Streisand. You know, he didn't respect my love of Barbara and it bothered me. But I fucking love her. I love her acting. Obviously, I love her singing. There's nothing like it in the whole world. I love her acting. I loved What's Up, Doc. I loved The Way We Were. Oh, God. And I love her directing. Mirror Has Two Faces. Prince's, what's the one with Nick Nolte? Prince of Tides. She's a brilliant director. I'd love to see her direct something again. I don't know. But yeah, I met her once and I was so excited, but tried to play it cool. And if I'm being honest, I very much was hoping that she knew who I was and was a fan. And I got half of that, which is we were introduced and I said, it's wonderful to meet you. I'm a huge fan. And she said, oh, yeah, you're that comedian. And I said, and it was just so depressing. I almost wish she didn't know who I was. Because it was just very, it's like Raj, you know when people go like, oh, I saw your set on Saturday. And then you just go, you can't really say thanks because they're not saying you were funny or that they enjoyed it. They're just saying that they endured you. So you have to go, oh, huh. Okay. Dad, we are winding down. This is the time of the part of the podcast where I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And check us out on YouTube if you like watching. You like watching? Check us out on YouTube.
Hey!
Hey, I wanna...
Hey!
Hi!
Hey, you fucker!